Well, hi, Dr. Schlain, and thank you so much for joining us for this podcast.
Oh, it's great to be here.
Great. Well, it's a pleasure to have you. So Craig and I at a private wealth conference had the pleasure of listening to a presentation that Dr. Schlain had given, and it resonated with us. And we wanted to share this, although this isn't typically a private wealth conversation. It is definitely a practice that caters, a medical practice that caters to ultra high net worth families and how they access the healthcare system. So we asked Dr. Schlain to join us for a brief podcast to explain, you know, his approach to medicine and some of the very interesting things, proactive things that very wealthy families are doing to extend their longevity and the quality of life. As an introduction, Dr. Jordan Schlain is the founder and chairman of Private Medical, which is a full-service multi-family office healthcare provider. In addition to founding Private Medical, Dr. Schlain founded one of the first AI digital healthcare companies called HealthLoop, and is co-founder and chairman of Eat Real, which is a nonprofit working to upgrade the nutrition in all of our public schools. He also advises numerous venture funds and is a guest lecturer frequently at Princeton, Columbia, UC Berkeley, and Stanford. Dr. Schlain graduated from UC Berkeley before receiving his MD degree at Georgetown University School of Medicine. So with that, Dr. Schlain, I'm going to sort of hand it over to you and talk a little bit about your practice, private medicine, the difference between what we often see as concierge medicine and private medicine, and then some of the interesting things that you're doing with your clients to enhance their health and their life.
Well, thank you so much, Mark and Craig. I'm really glad to be here, and I'm glad you enjoyed that talk, and I'll try to do another kind of iteration of that today. Ultimately, my goal here is to educate and inspire, and then hopefully take action based on these things for the listeners out there. So I've learned a lot from taking care of people in finance and the ultra high net worth set, things like basis points and assets and portfolios and risk management. These are all things that we do in medicine, but we just never use those terms. And I think that what people expect in an amazing wealth manager or asset manager, they should expect the same degree of rigor and science and diligence in a doctor. The problem with our healthcare system right now is that doctors are burned out. COVID burned them out. Most physicians are owned by insurance companies or hospitals, and they're asked to do more with less. To doctors, it's like the DMV. Everybody, whether you're Medicare or you're poor or rich, or, you know, you just are put in the same thing. So it's really one size fits one size. I started Private Medical 25 years ago with the intention of designing a different kind of healthcare system for people. Something that I would want to be a patient of, and I would want to be a part of. And interestingly, we don't call them patients. We call them members, because they're not sick, and patients are usually found in hospitals and sick. So my goal today is to talk about, you know, how the medical system is different. There are different categories of medicine that are available to us, and that there's a lot of new technology and a lot of innovation. And these are all things that can help us live longer, healthier, happier lives, but we need to embrace them. So let me go through this little slide deck here. I think of health as an asset. You know, as I think about longevity and overall well-being, you know, the four key principles are: you need a baseline of where you are. You need a detailed risk assessment. You need a detailed analysis of your lifestyle. How do you live your life? You need to be able to detect things early, and then you need to be able to intervene with highly accurate treatments or interventions. Real briefly, the way the healthcare system is right now, the current system, which I have here, you know, each doctor will see 3,000 patients with a case mix of different insurances. It's like flying coach. Concierge medicine, I would say, is like flying business, which is definitely an upgrade. Those doctors usually have 300 to 700 patients or members per practice. They're very reactive. It's the same thing you had with your other doctor. There's just more time and more availability. But what you really want, and their networks are very local. That physician or that doctor knows the three or four people in their neighborhood. Private medicine, which is something that we've invented, is really, really, we want to give each member of our practice or patient or client, whatever we call them, they have a team dedicated to them. So a doctor, a nurse, a coordinator, and on that team is a nutritionist, a gynecologist, a cardiologist available to them. So you are signing up with a team of people that is only thinking about your health, and they're thinking about it when you're not. And it's very proactive. So we do this detailed baseline. We build an annual plan for you, like a business gets an annual report. We build an annual report per person, and then we follow you through the whole year to show you the things that are coming that we're concerned about that we need to make adjustments. Our network is both local, national, and global. We work with hospitals all around the country. We have over 4,000 experts in our practice. A little more like flying private. It's you're on, you're off. It's wheels up, wheels down. And it's really quite simple. Not everybody flies private, but you know, I had a patient the other day said I could never go back to any other system after having kind of been in this one, just due to the attention to detail. We have 5-star training for all of our staff. So it's high touch, but it's not over the top. So I want to just talk about longevity for a second, just to frame it all up. How do we define it? There's lots of different ways to define longevity. I kind of think about it as you'd like to live to your naturally programmed expiration date or longer and as healthy as possible with the fewest amount of interactions with the healthcare system. So I'll let your viewers just read these, but these are just various definitions of it. You know, in general, the average human lives 4,000 weeks. That doesn't seem like that many, does it? That's the average lifespan of the American. But we're starting to see the fact that humans are getting to centenarians, going to 100 and healthy much more frequently, and will do so in the future. And that's due to part genetics, part the environment, a lot of lifestyle, and the right interventions, which we'll talk about. My expiration date is 2047. If I just do nothing and play the odds game, I plan on living much longer than that by doing the things I'm going to show you how to do. And the first thing to ask yourself is, okay, after the age of 25, when the little pinky bone in your finger stops growing and you start aging, you become a depreciating asset after the age of 25. And nobody really knows which one of these curves. Are you above normal? Are you below normal? Are you early decline? So this is like having a board meeting on a regular basis and trying to figure out what the trend of the company is doing or your asset is doing. So, you know, a lot of people don't know where they are. And now you can know. There are tests that you can know, and everybody should know. Otherwise, you're flying blind. Number two is as you get older, you see all the disability placards on cars and stuff. You don't want to be disabled. You know, health is freedom. You want to be able to roam about the cabin of life freely under your own power. And muscle mass and strength is part of that. So, you know, it's not just, you know, taking supplements and doing this stuff. It's actually walking and doing exercise, which is why the Mediterranean diet is given so much quarter, is because people are walking. It's not just the diet. It's their whole lifestyle. So the question is how fast are you aging, going back to the other point? And, you know, there's a bunch of new blood tests coming out now. I don't recommend them yet, but it's coming, where you can check what your biological clock and your biological age are. I think this is 5 years away. People will be seeing it more and more because there's a lot of marketing behind it. And the hype for the longevity is because life sciences revolution has met AI, has met computing power, and has met marketing. And when there's a brand new $280 billion market that opens up, you see the hype. And this one right here in the center, the age reversal breakthrough at Harvard, this was July 15th, 2023. This is last week. I know people on the inside here, and this is all just, you know, this was done in a mouse and a worm where they reversed aging. And 98% of studies in mice never make it to humans. So, you know, this creates a lot of hype, which leads people to then do all sorts of stuff to try to live longer or better. And this is just a slide of some of the things. I just got a patient the other day, remember the other day, that sent me this from a doctor's office, which shows all these different tests and supplements. And like, there is zero science for any of this, but there's a lot of money to be made. So you kind of got to buyer beware. Before you do anything to your body, put anything in it, put anything on it, like you really should understand what the science is before doing anything. And our job at Private Medical as your medical team is to always look at the science in great detail. And so there's a lot of ways to look at science to determine if it's good or not. Wall Street Journal does not look at the science. They talk to some experts, and those experts are usually promoting something. So, so we really look at where the science is at, you know, science versus snake oil. You know, the key takeaways on this slide are, you know, science embraces criticism, and snake oil is hostile to criticism. You know, science seeks falsifications, and snake oil seeks confirmations, and they don't tell you any of the risks, which I'll talk about. So what can we do here, you know, in our lives to live longer? What's going to get us? And what's going to get us is heart disease, cancer, and medical errors. The medical errors pieces, that's what kills you. But from a morbidity standpoint, it's probably number one. So having a medical team that's actually got your back 24/7 and 360 and your whole family is going to take number three right out of this picture. So then it's really numbers one and two. So, you know, I had a guy recently, he's 38 years old, just sold his company for $900 million, super healthy, or so he thought. He came in to see me. I put my stethoscope, really crude instrument, on his heart, heard a loud murmur. And we got an echocardiogram, and, you know, 3 days later or a week later, he was having open heart surgery because he had a valve, and he had been told by many doctors that he had a murmur, but at 38, nobody actually looked at it because, you know, 38 year old with a murmur, you know, a lot of people have murmurs all their lives and they're no big deals, but he had a massive murmur. His heart was getting too big. So like he's now, you know, probably 50 with his kids are grown and he's super healthy, but if we didn't do this at that point, he would have irreversible heart damage and would have been on the heart transplant list. So, so from a heart standpoint, going back to the number one, you know, killer, and this is men and women. A lot of people think heart attacks only happen in men. They happen in women equally. You know, we do stethoscopes and EKGs. This is version 1.0. That was good. We moved into lipids and getting blood tests, look at your cholesterol, your LDL. And this is also still important. And then we moved to, if you're over 50, man or woman, you should get a CAT scan that looks at your calcium score of your heart. So you can see here, this person's got a little calcification of their coronary arteries on the right, and on the left, there's none. If you have a family history of heart disease, your mom or dad had a heart attack in their 40s, 50s, or 60s, you may want to get this earlier. Remember, the age 50 is a round number that the U.S. government task force says this is when you should get it. That doesn't mean you can't get it at 45. It doesn't mean you can't or shouldn't get it at age 40. But your doctor generally will only live within the confines of what the U.S. Preventative Task Force says. I like to say there's no evidence for evidence-based medicine when you're dealing with an individual, because the evidence is all about a population. And you don't know which individual in that population you are. And if you're an outlier, you're not put into the mix. So personalized medicine and precision medicine is taking into account your whole universe of risk factors, environment, childhood, genetics, and then asking, when should I get this calcium score? So that was just a small little offshoot about, you know, precision medicine. If you wanted to go extra, Ray Dalio at Bridgewater funded a guy out of Cornell to use AI and apply it to the coronary calcium score test, where you can actually see lipids lipids accumulating, sorry, before they turn into calcium. So going even upstream. And the reason you do this test is, should you change your diet more aggressively? Do you have some genetic version of cholesterol that even the cholesterol tests say, you know, you're fine, but maybe you're not. So it's just another way to go upstream and start treating things more aggressively. One of the important things I'll also note, a study came out today, actually, that showed that the goal is to get in front of these problems when you're 30 and 40 and 50, maybe even, but to try to start tackling major problems when you're 60 or 70, now you're just trying to slow the snowball rolling down the hill. So going as upstream as possible and as young as possible is really important. And we don't typically think that way. We don't think of 30 and 40 year olds having to jump into prevention land. This, I think, and I actually bumped into this guy over the weekend. This is a new blood test called SomaLogic. It's a blood test. It's about $600. Most of these tests your doctor may or may not recommend because they don't know that you're willing to pay out of pocket. This clearly scores also out of pocket at $750. So a lot of doctors don't want to spend your money and they don't know if you have it. And you know, our thesis is, look, if you want to live a long, you know, you get what you pay for. And if you want great data and great information, you're going to have to pay these scientists that have done 20 years of research on this test. But this looks at various 28 different proteins in your blood. And they've back tested it against the UK Biobank and all these hundreds of thousands of people over 20 years. And they can show the pattern of proteins that's coming off like an exhaust from your coronary arteries will actually impute your risk. And so this guy had a 6% risk of having a heart attack in 4 years. He's 64 years old. I told him, I said, we need to shave at least 300 basis points off of that risk. And in order to do that, he had to lose 15 pounds. He had that blood pressure that he did not want to take medicine for. And it wasn't that high, but it's a risk factor. We needed to solve that. And he had a little bit of sleep apnea that his wife was telling us about. We take care of an entire family, so we get to a lot of insight into what's really going on with people. And he lost 20 pounds, not using any Ozempic or any of these new medicines. Because I offered it to him and he said, I'm going to do it on my own. And he did. In 4 months, lost 20 pounds. His blood pressure went to normal. His sleep apnea stopped and his score went down 300 basis points. I want to get it down to 1%. So we're still working on it. I also told him to cut out the cigars. He likes cigars. And that is another risk factor. So you just got to ask yourself, if I love cigars, am I willing to play that as a risk going forward? If you wanted to like really get into it, then you can get into these coronary angiograms where you do a heart flow test. This is another $600 test that you can actually tag on to the Cleerly test while you're doing it. And it will show you the exact diameters and risk areas of your heart blood vessels to tell you whether you need a stent or how aggressive you need to use to treat. Sorry about those slides. So the next thing I want to talk about is cancer detection. So if you are willing to dive headlong into your coronary and your heart, we can tell you exactly the state of play of you now, and we can measure and monitor it yearly, and we can prevent heart attacks 100%. Those do not need to happen. On the cancer side, we can't actually prevent cancer, but we can prevent it from killing you by catching it early. And this is a big deal. So right now there's mammograms, prostate tests, colonoscopies, and pap smears. Those are the four diagnostic tools we have. We've had them for a long time. Along comes these guys out of Silicon Valley that look at cell-free DNA, another blood test. This blood test checks for, I think, 42 different types of cancers, and you can catch them at stage 1, 2, 3, and 4. Stage 4s usually present themselves with symptoms. Stage 3s usually present themselves with symptoms. Stage 1 and 2 do not. This is a simple blood test, about $800 or $900. So we do this on all our patients. I do it on myself. This is usually the result you want to get, is that you had no cancer signal detected. I had a 38-year-old gentleman, who I talked to this morning, actually, he's off on a tour. He's a singer and he was 38. And he told me that his mother and his grandmother died of some type of intestinal cancer, stomach cancer, but he didn't have any records and he wanted to do this blood test. I said, you're 38. You're kind of young. He did the test and the result was cancer signal detected, colon. So we did a colonoscopy and there it was, a 2-centimeter tumor in his transverse colon. It was stage 2B, surgery, radiation, chemo. 2 years later, he's about to have a kid and he's healthy. He's lost weight. Remember, this is a guy that would not have gotten a colonoscopy until at least age 40 or 45, which means he would be dead by the time of his colonoscopy because this thing would have metastasized. So that's on, and there's much more innovation coming in on the cancer testing and treatments. So there's new treatments that you can get that can stop metastases, that can actually cure lymphoma. But if you don't catch these things too early and they get really late, they really wreak havoc on your body. So surveillance is critical. You would not invest $10 million in a company and have one board meeting, kind of a crappy board meeting a year for 30 minutes and not get a bunch of great data. You want the best data you can on your body. Full stop. So in the world of longevity, like if I think about things in terms of risk on and risk off, if something's proven safe and it's effective, then we should do that. If it's proven safe and it's not effective, which is a lot of people selling stuff out there like vitamins and, you know, you're just spending your money. I don't think it adds a ton of value. But there are things that are effective and not safe. This is the risk on stuff. So men that have low testosterone will go get testosterone supplements. The number one reason that men have low testosterone is because of stress in their life, lack of sleep, too much work, too much travel, arguments with spouses and businesses and everything else. So if you take testosterone, which is, it's effective, you decrease your body's ability to make it. It can cause a whole bunch of other side effects. And that's just one example of an effective, not safe thing to do. Obviously, if it's not safe and not effective, you know, maybe you're an idiot. Be careful. Certainly don't do those things. This is just a guy who of mine that was taking testosterone, did not tell me he was taking testosterone. His wife, I mean, sadly had committed suicide, and it was a very stressful life. And you can see these testosterone numbers down below. They started to come up, but then he wound up taking testosterone from some other doctor that he didn't tell me. And his blood pressure went up. His hematocrit went up. His blood counts became so thick that I had to draw blood from him every 2 weeks. I'd take a pint off because there's huge risk. And then there's another guy that, without going into it, called me with the brain tumor. This is not a patient of ours, but a friend. And I said, really? And he said, it's a meningioma. I said, that's not a bad one. That can be treated. He said, no, it's huge. I said, well, what medicines are you taking? He found a doctor in New York who gave him, he was on no medicines and no supplements. And after he met this woman in New York, he was on all of these things. And two of them here at the top are hormones. And the tumor that he had is hormone sensitive, and the tumor grew quite large. And now we're debating surgery or watchful waiting and stopping all this stuff. So just beware of all the stuff out there. So what I would say is what works now for prevention. And these are the takeaways here, like avoid processed food. If it's got a label, if it comes in a package, like be really thoughtful before you put it in your mouth. Those are chemicals in there. They affect your metabolism. They will cause prediabetes or some other metabolic dysfunction. Sleep is critical. You know, try to get 8 hours of sleep a night if you can. Some people are 6 hour sleepers, but the people that say I'll sleep when I'm, there's too much going on, I'll sleep when I'm dead. You will get there earlier. You will not make it to 4,000 weeks. They've studies have shown that poor sleep increases, you know, morbidity, mortality. Intermittent exercise is we know that works. There was a study that came out just last week that 2 days of exercise a week is as good as exercising every day from a cardiovascular fitness and a longevity standpoint. So for the people that feel bad because they don't do their Peloton every day, don't worry. If you just do 2 days a week of like weekend warrior type of stuff, it confers the same benefit. Social integration, you know, we have more connections and more friends now than ever, but we're as lonelier than we've ever been. And so making sure you spend time to be analog and be with people that you like and laugh and enjoy yourself and put your screens away. We know that improves your life. And that's kind of part of the Blue Zone studies and the Mediterranean studies. Optimism and happiness, you know, if you're not happy, you know, finding therapists that can help you identify the root causes of these things is important. Regular sex is important. Being outdoors, you know, having purpose is also really important. A lot of people, you know, they just did a study that showed that volunteerism in people over 70s improves their life, longevity. Obviously having a medical partner you can trust. You know, what works now, there's a lot of new tests coming out. I just illuminated two of them. There are many, many, many more types of tests that we run on people to get deep insight into their physiologies, their biologies, and their future selves. Full body scans is one I'll talk about real quickly because they're like popping up like mushrooms. In general, if you're over 50 and you get a full body scan, you will find something there. That something there was there all along, but they never saw it before. So it becomes something to work up. That workup turns into what we call medical safaris, because you go on these wild goose chases, looking for something that, you know, is actually normal. I would rather go on an African safari than a medical safari myself. So, you know, there are cases where the full body scan found a cancer. Do the blood test. It's more accurate. Continuous glucose monitoring. You can buy them over the counter now. You put them on your shoulder. You do it for a month and you go, wow, I eat rice and my blood sugar goes way up. I eat pizza and my blood sugar doesn't. So you can really start to identify what are the things that are really kind of grating on your system. when you eat, and everybody's slightly different. So getting a continuous glucose monitor is pretty interesting. The microbiome stuff's too early right now, in my opinion. And then, you know, what works from a treatment standpoint in the longevity world, none of this stuff really works. It's all being sold as it works. So I'm here to tell you, there are some crazies out there that talk about metformin and rapamycin and NAD. The science is not there. What's coming soon is, you know, in order to know, you know, the number one cause of early onset cognitive decline is untreated high blood pressure. So my question for everybody is, what is your blood pressure? And in order to find out what your blood pressure really is, you need to look at 13 measurements over the course of 1 month. Nobody does that. So the good news is they're coming out with a continuous glucose blood pressure monitor that you can wear on your wrist, and then you can really get clarity on what that is. There's a company that's measuring your breath, and pretty soon that breath will tell you the health of your liver, your lungs, your kidneys, all through measuring 70,000 volatile organic compounds using AI. I just posted some research. This is all in the last, you know, couple of months. So innovation is happening in real time. And the question is your doctor paying attention to all this innovation? Is your medical team bringing you the latest scientific evidence? You know, us here at Private Medical, we have an entire innovation team that reviews and analyzes and does scientific diligence on 2 to 5 companies a month to see if they pass muster for us. So I've said a lot. I want to get to some questions. And let me just tell you what I do. So this is my baseline testing. And this is what everybody, I think, should generally do. You know, there's the gold standard blood test that we all do. Everybody should know if they're celiac or not, if they're gluten intolerant. My wife's mother died of intestinal cancer because she was celiac and didn't know it and loved her pasta. And she ate a lot of gluten. So it is more than just a thing. I mean, if you're celiac, food allergies testing is good to know. And then that Grail test I talked about, the cell-free DNA, the Soma scan, which measures the proteomics of your heart to tell you what your risk scores are. That can be done every 6 months, every year. Imaging, you know, if you're over 50 or if you have heart disease in your family and you're under 50, you should just get a calcium score, plus or minus the Clearly test if they have it. It's in a theater near you. It's a relatively new thing. The whole body MRI, like I said, I don't recommend it. I did it because somebody offered it to me and they wanted to show me why I should order it. Not everybody, I don't. But, you know, some people really want to see what their body looks like, and I don't blame them, and they can do it if they want. The DEXA scan is an x-ray. It'll tell you the health of your bones, but it will also tell you how fat you are on the inside. So there are more fat people on the inside than there are fat people on the outside. And if you're fat on the inside, it will lead to early diabetes and metabolic dysfunction. So there's a lot of people walking around looking at overweight, obese people saying, well, that look, they have a problem, but they could have the same problem. They just don't know it. So measuring the visceral fat is really important. The brain MRI, you know, 2% of the people have aneurysms that they're walking around with. Those are usually diagnosed by an autopsy. So, you know, it's a $400 or $500 test. It takes a half an hour. I like to get baseline brain MRIs on people. And brain MRAs, that's an angiogram part. There's no contrast. It's safe. The colonoscopies, you know, you got to get those anyway, even though you're doing the blood test. The neuropsych tests are super interesting because as we get older, and I've seen it a lot in the last 20 years, people in their 50s, 60s, 70s, God, doc, I can't remember what I used to. I said, well, let's do a neuropsych test. And so we do this 6-hour neuropsych test on them, and they're totally fine. They don't have the recall issues that they think they have. What they have is executive function disorder. They're busy people with lots going on. The human brain has never been meant to be this busy, but there's no deficits. So getting these tests, you know, in your 40s and 50s once, so you have a baseline, will give you a lot of comfort in later in life when you do the test again and see it hasn't changed. The genetic tests, that you can do a test for, we do these on all of our patients where we check for your risk of cancer and your actionable genomes. So that we check your genome and it'll tell you, oh, you have a risk, not for a cancer, but for something else that we need to pay closer attention to. So it really helps us hone in and focus on the things that we normally wouldn't look at. And then we have to start looking at those a little more carefully. And then pharmacogenomics is certain people respond to different drugs differently. And so now we can say, you know, aspirin, or, you know, if you're on blood thinners, what dose you should take, how frequently, which ones are better for you. So this is the baseline testing. From a lifestyle standpoint, there's a lot here. I'll go over the highlights. Time-restricted eating. So eating in an 8-hour window is probably a, you know, biologically we're designed to eat in an 8-hour window over hundreds of millions of years. But this is probably the single most important thing that can lead to, you know, decrease oxidative stress and grind in your body. Every time you eat, you have to process it. When you process, it's like your car driving really fast when you eat. And every time your car drives fast, you know, wears on the gears and the and the motor. So you want to give it time to not eat. Daily fiber. You know, the apple a day thing is kind of funny because it was a promotion by the apple industry, but one apple is only 70 calories and provides 50% of the daily fiber you need. Raspberries have more fiber. But if you really are thinking about, like, if you have a sweet tooth, buy apples and just eat them. And you can't eat more than three apples. You just can't. You'll be full and you only had, you know, 210 calories, and it's super healthy for you, not to suggest that. And then olive oil on everything. You know, olive oil has been proven over and over again to be a wonderful, you know, a fat. So I put it on my, you know, salads and, you know, wherever you can put olive oil on it, put olive oil on it. You know, I take vitamin D and coenzyme Q10. Vitamin D, a lot of people say, I'm in the sun a lot, I don't need vitamin D. The truth is, you have to measure your vitamin D to see if it's low. I you know, I like the sun, but my vitamin D never goes up. So you know, you can't manage what you don't measure. And so that goes back to the baseline testing. From a fitness standpoint, standing desks, walking outdoors, you know, cold plunges, like, or, you know, if you can do 40 push-ups in the morning, that's a lot. That's been shown also to be a marker for longevity. But ultimately, if you're 65 and you just want to walk every day for 25 minutes outside, that's adequate exercise. You don't need to, you know, get on that Peloton and push yourself really hard every day. Like I said earlier, it's a couple of days a week of like some getting your heart rate up. Sleep is really important. I talked about that. I generally set an alarm clock to wake up. I had to wake up at 6 a.m. this morning. So I went to bed at 10 because I knew I needed 8 hours sleep. When you wake up artificially with an alarm clock, you increase the levels of cortisol in your body, which increases chronic inflammation, which leads to aging. So they call it inflammaging. Is the term. So inflammation leads to aging faster. So you want to do everything you can to reduce the inflammation in your body. I wear an Oura ring on my finger. It measures my sleep. I can track it. And it's just interesting for me to see how the quality of my sleep was. I take Crestor, which is a statin. My cholesterol is, my LDL was a little too high for me. My calcium score was zero. Somalogic score was 3%. I want to get that down to 2%, 1%. The other little thing is dental floss and water flossing with water picks. A lot of studies show that bacteria build up in your gums, and they're the ones that cause inflammation in your heart. And then I talk about cognitive nutrition, which is kind of lifestyle. You know, are you engaged in, activities that, our cognitive nutrition. So I'm in a book club. I like to do family dinners. I write music. I like to read three scientific articles a day. and fundamentally, you know, in life, what you should focus on are things that matter and things you can control. And in order to know what things that matter, you have to measure things. You have to have a partner, and the things that you can control, you know, those are in your hands, but then they're in your medical professional's hands too, because there's a lot we can control if we actually have the whole picture. So I'll stop there and we'll take some questions.
But I got a quick question for you here, Dr. Schlein. So you've mentioned a lot. You've gone through a lot of different things that you can do to, one, to detect your current health, get a baseline, to continue to improve your health, and then ultimately, you know, what you might do on sort of on the back end to continue to sort of add longevity and quality of life. But if there was a takeaway from this, like if for the layman, somebody who doesn't spend a lot of time thinking about this, doesn't have the private medical, maybe they fly business. They've got a concierge doctor. They see them once a year. If there is one or two takeaways, say, look, these are the things, absolutely, one or two things that you should be doing that maybe you're not doing now, what would those be? What would be your top priority in interacting with your doctor or just in your own everyday, you know, health?
So let me take that in two pieces. Like with your doctor, so everybody should be getting this cancer test. Right? Like the thing that's going to prevent you, like if you've made and you've done well in life, you certainly want to enjoy what you've made or the resources that you have. And the one thing that will cut that short is cancer. So cancer cannot be detected early. And you should absolutely, without fail, you know, catch it early. A lot of people are afraid of the test because they get so anxious about what the result's going to be. The truth is, the results usually indicate you don't have cancer. And if you do, like in a couple, I mean, we caught a 44-year-old woman and it said anal cancer, stage 1. We sent her to a proctologist and there was a little teeny thing. We removed it. She's done. She doesn't need any big surgeries. It was a little biopsy and done. So, you know, catching things early is so critical in the cancer thing. On the heart thing, like, you know, you got to pay attention to that. Like you do not want to be visiting cardiologists all your life, getting stents, you know, wearing oxygen later in life. I mean, just think about like what, you know, your future self and imagine what you want yourself in 10 or 20 or 30 years to look like. You don't want to be connected to oxygen, on blood thinners, visiting hospitals, going to ERs. Like that's what happens when you get heart disease. So, I know what your status of your heart is. So those are like the two tests. And then these genetic tests. Invitae is a company, you know, so the cancer genetics, the whole genome genetics, the pharmacogenetics is, you know, if you're not on any medications, who cares? But if you were going to go on a medicine, you'd want to know how your body processes different medications. And that technology is getting better every day. So like, those are the new things. Like your doctor probably does the stethoscope and the EKG and the, you know, the usual suspects, the regular blood work. That they do, which is pretty archaic in modern times. And there are so many more blood tests coming online in the next 5 years that we're looking at them regularly. They're not ready for prime time yet, but they're getting close. That will give you great insight into the behaviors that you do, how it affects your core asset. And I think of health as freedom, right? And freedom to roam about the cabin and to think the way you want to think. If you don't have your health, You are like, what do they say? If you have no health problems, you have many problems. But if you have a health problem, you only have one problem. So it does become all consuming. And so like, stay ahead of it. And I like to tell people, and I'm sure in your business too, you can see a bad outcome coming pretty far away if you see some signs early and you don't do anything about them. So, you know, our job is to look and see these like little things that nobody would think were a big deal, but like, pattern recognition, history, and experience show those little things are going to turn into big things. And so you have to watch them closely and you have to stay on top of them. And so that's on that side. On the what can you do side, and I elucidated some of them, I would say, you know, watch what you put in your mouth. And just, so I step on the scale every day at the same time after a certain, you know, I take my shower. And it's just a feedback loop that keeps you honest. If you're trying to lose weight and you check it every week. So by the way, people lose like a pound at night when they sleep. I don't know if you know that. You'll lose a pound because you're sweat. You're not eating and you're burning calories. You will lose a pound. If you don't eat anything all day, you'll lose another pound and you'll sleep. So this day-to-day weight is really, so I was just camping at this place and I ate too much. So I gained a couple pounds on this camping trip. So I will today step on the scale, which I did, kind of scary. And then I'm going to like not eat till 2. I'll have a small lunch. I'm going to step on it tomorrow and see what it did. And I'm going to get back down to my target weight. But if you don't check it every day, next thing you know, it's 6 pounds up or whatever it is. And you're just not being intellectually honest with yourself if you're trying to target that. Fruits and vegetables all day long. You can't eat enough of them. You fill your face with those things. Like I said, if it comes in a package, if it's processed, you know, when you get to booze or wine, which a lot of our members enjoy because they're wine collectors or tequila collectors, water. You have to drink lots of water because alcohol in and of itself is a toxin when it's concentrated. And when you drink, you get more dehydrated and you don't really drink a lot of water. So the strategy is if you know you're going to have some wine or drinks with friends, drink a full or two glasses of water before you have your first sip of alcohol, and then try your best to have a glass of water between each drink. It's hard to do. And then drink a glass of water when you're done at the end of the night. That will dilute the alcohol from concentrating and causing liver damage and brain damage and all this other damage. So those are some critical pieces. The other thing is a lot of, you know, the sad part about the healthcare system is the sicker you get, the more money they make, right? That's a systemic problem. Every time you go see a specialist and they're not sure whether they should do the procedure or not do the procedure, they're probably going to do the procedure because that's how they make their money. Like if they, so prevention is, you know, is a bad strategy in the current business model of healthcare. Cure is a really bad business model for the pharmaceutical companies, and everybody else. So, you know, ultimately you want to ask, you know, before you get any procedure, somebody recommends it, like, just ask a lot of questions. Do I really need it? What are the risks? You know, tell me the benefits. Like, does this mean I, you know, you really interrogate on any procedure that's going to happen to you. Don't just take it at face value. Get a second opinion if you need to, or even a third. I mean, with us, we have 4,000 experts around the country where I can call someone in New York at HSS or the Rothman Institute about a questionable hip replacement here in San Francisco or anywhere. And the people over in New York they're never going to do the procedure. They're not going to make money on it. There's going to be an objective assessment of I would do it or I wouldn't do it. And so we have the ability to gather opinions from experts all around the country to give us a lot more comfort before we make a decision, because procedures are all big deals, little ones and big ones. They all have their risks. And then I would just say, beware of the people selling you the magic silver bullets, you know, getting IVs, drips, which seem to be like showing up everywhere. Like getting an IV in your arm is not a without risk procedure. And when they give you some supplements that they're putting in it, did they come from China, India? Like, are they contaminated? Like, you know, I mean, I don't get why people put stuff in their bodies without doing real homework. It's like inviting people into your house you don't know, you know. To sleep in the room next to your kids. It doesn't make sense. So I would just say be skeptical. Be really, really skeptical of what people are pitching you in a realm of like marketing. So those are did those hit your points?
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, I'm trying to think of anything else that's valuable. I think those are the highlights, you know, well, and like I ask people, what's your doctor's name? And they're like, and they don't even know. I'm like, that's a real problem. Because on the board of directors of your life, you want a lawyer, you want UBS, you want you guys, right? You know, managing the assets, you want probably an estate person to help you deal with the, you know, in a succession, and you want a doctor, right? You don't want to like let the doctor not be at the board of directors of your life, because then you're not getting an objective perspective. You know, now a lot of people don't want to hear it, that, you know, you're overweight, you're smoking, you're like, but that's okay. You still need someone to keep you honest. Otherwise, you know, you're just not going to make it as long as you want to. So I think those are like, you know, you should have a good relationship, and there are great concierge doctors out there. You know, their limitation is that they're just local. And if you have the means and you want like the best experts, you know, on planet Earth to look at you and to give objective opinions, you know, you find someone like us, and I don't know that there's many people in our league at the moment, but there will be, you know, I mean, the category of people that you take care of and that we take care of is growing, and they're discerning. And, you know, we are discreet by nature. We're not out there, you know, you know, selling. You know, this is something that's bought and not sold. And it's something that if you value your health as much as you value your art collection or your house collection or your car collection, like this is an investment, I think, that is like a low dollar amount on the spectrum. And it's, I think, a very high value investment. It's just hard for people to wrap their head around, you know, this new concept because they've never seen it before. But I mean, we're seeing 6-star hotels being built right now, you know, so like there's always a place to level up. And I don't think, and I wouldn't be satisfied with a, you know, a mediocre product when these other things are available.
Dr. Schlein, thank you so much for spending the time to do this podcast with us. It resonated with us the first time we heard it. It resonates with us again today, and we know our clients will appreciate hearing your thoughts.
Excellent. And listen, you know, as I said to you, and I'll extend this to your clients, if anybody has a question where they're stuck on it, just email me. You know, I'm happy to give you a quick, I'm not going to spend hours and hours on something, but if it's a go right or left, or should I stop or go, like I'm happy to give people a quick, you know, assessment. I think everybody owes themselves a detailed health audit. What is the state of your health right now? And what is the potential trajectories that your future holds? And you should just know these things. Like it's irresponsible not to.
We'll send out your email, and we'll also send out the slide presentation with this podcast.
Oh yeah, great. And then one last thing, and I'll send you this updated thing, is like, you know, for those of you, you know, we have offices in New York, LA, San Francisco, Silicon Valley, Miami. We have relationships globally. You know, I'm helping someone in Paris right now see a doctor, and another one in Greece. So we're global, and we're national, and, you know, and we're local. So we take care of people wherever they are.
Perfect. Well, thank you again so much. We really appreciate your time.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you, Craig.
Thanks, Dr. Schlein.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. See ya.